Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. My name is Marcia Longdon, and I am an immigration partner at Kingsley Napley, and I'm here with my colleague
Royce Clemente, Global Immigration Coordinator at Kingsley Napley. And Marcia and I are here to talk about creative individuals and the respective visas that they can apply for to work in the UK.
Royce, so we've had clients in the past who are creative, and what I'd like to find out is if we had a musician who was a non-European national and they came to us seeking advice and perhaps wanting to practice or perform in the UK.
So based off what you've just said, the Tier 1 Exceptional Talent Visa would probably be the best and most flexible visa route for this type of individual. So this really caters for those who are exceptionally talented within their field of work. And these fields of work range from science, humanities, engineering, arts, and technology. And it's for those people who are looking to come to the UK, who work in those fields, and are looking to work in the UK, and are considered to be the leaders in those respective fields.
So again, the musician who's come to us, they would fall into the category of the arts, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. It'd definitely be the arts category that would cater for musicians.
And why would this be the most flexible visa, or is it the most flexible?
So assuming they fall within one of those categories I previously mentioned, the reason it's the most flexible is because at entry clearance, it offers up to 5 years and 4 months for the individual to stay in the UK. And at entry clearance, the visa is usually granted for 2 to 3 years. And then the individual can then choose to extend the visa either in country or in a country where they have legal residence for up to 6 months. And the fact that they can do this really gives them the opportunity to make the application depending on where they are, should they have a busy schedule. So it really caters for those individuals who are kind of all around the place and working in different locations. And most importantly, it gives the individual the opportunity to work for different employers and not necessarily be tied to projects that might necessarily be short term, long term, but it gives them that flexibility to work in different areas and do what they want to do to really progress their career as they see fit.
That's interesting. So if a US national was in Poland, for example, and they wanted to apply for the exceptional talent, they could apply at the British post there in Poland.
Yeah, it would give them that flexibility to do so if it fit their schedule.
Okay. So somebody like Prince, right, who died a few years ago, he was at the top of his profession. So he would essentially qualify for a Tier 1 Exceptional Talent.
Absolutely. He would obviously have to satisfy the criteria, which I'm sure we'll go on to shortly, but with his name and stature, it would absolutely fit in within that category.
Okay. So we've also had clients or potential clients approach us about they're literally just starting out in their career. They're doing YouTube videos from home. You know, we know that there has been lots of people who have become very talented after slowly progressing their career, like I say, through YouTube, through those types of channels. Is there anything for those individuals?
Absolutely. For those who don't necessarily have the history or requirements to prove that they are exceptionally talented within their field, there's another strain within the Tier 1 category, which is the Tier 1 Exceptional Promise Visa. And this gives the opportunity for individuals within those respective categories I mentioned to work in the UK. And as long as they can prove that they have exceptional promise within their field and are looking to become really influential in their respective fields and can show that they're on course to do so. And they need to prove that working in the UK will help benefit them and will really progress their career going forward.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you. So can you talk me through the stages that, you know, somebody who's exceptionally talented, what, you know, the visa process and what they would need to do?
Sure. So for the exceptional talent and exceptional promise visa routes, it's very similar. So it's a two-stage process. So for stage one, it's the endorsement process, whereby the individual needs to submit a portfolio to the designated competent body that governs their area. So in the instance you gave us of Prince, it would be the Arts Council of England. And all of the designated competent bodies have up to 2,000 endorsements that they can make yearly. And that's split up amongst the different bodies. And essentially, the individual would need to submit a portfolio outlining their work and their records of achievement. So included in that would be awards that they've won, television performances, album records and sales, and all of that would need to be in a paper format. So once the endorsement is submitted and the designated competent body sees fit that they are deserving of this visa, then they will be issued a letter. And then once they've been issued with that letter, it goes on to stage two. And just following on from that, stage one would cost £456 at the time of our conversation now, and it can take up to 6 weeks depending on the individual. So stage two is the actual visa process, and the visa process needs to be made within the 3 month period from when the letter from the designated competent body is issued. So they have 3 months to make the visa application. And as I mentioned before, there's real flexibility to make this application, as it can be made pretty much anywhere where the applicant is residing at that time. And based on where they make the application depends on the processing time. So for example, in the US, there's expedited services whereby the visa can be turned around in 24 to 48 hours. So there's a real range of different times that the visa can be processed in. And the visa application for this stage would cost £152 at the time of recording, and it would incur the immigration health surcharge cost of £200 per year. So for a total of 5 years, we're looking for £1,000.
Okay, that's it's quite interesting that it seems quite affordable for that type of category, because, for example, if it was a tier two application, that at times can run into thousands of pounds. So I think that's really useful to know.
Absolutely. And just following on from that, what would happen once they've obtained the visa and they've kind of done the requisite time in the UK, what would be the next steps for settlement?
I think one of the exciting things about this category is that if you've got someone who's completed 3 years on the Tier 1 Exceptional Talent Visa, at the 3 year point, they can file an application for indefinite leave to remain. Whereas under other categories, it's normally 5 years. And saying that, you have to complete 5 years under exceptional promise before you can apply for indefinite leave to remain. So if I had obtained a tier one visa for Prince, he would have been able to apply for indefinite leave to remain after 3 years. What we should bear in mind is that if the person wanted to apply for British citizenship, then they still have to satisfy the qualifying period for that, and that's normally 6 years. So, but the point is, they could obtain indefinite leave to remain after 3 years. One of the things I'd like to point out is that if you're going for indefinite leave to remain, the biggest criteria, or perhaps the most challenging, is the residency requirement. So you have to have been continuously resident in the UK for at least 3 years if you're going for the exceptional talent, or 5 years if you're going for the exceptional promise. If you can imagine somebody who is touring perhaps around the world, then they might have a challenge when it comes to this category. So just super quickly, you cannot have been out of the UK for more than 180 days during the consecutive 12 months of the qualifying period. So literally, if you wanted to apply today, 12 months prior to this, you can't have spent more than 180 days outside of the UK. So for an artist, I could imagine that would be challenging. So it's something that we often remind them of at the very beginning of the process.
Great. So we've discussed individuals who are looking to kind of work and progress their career in the UK. But what about those creative individuals who are coming to the UK for a temporary engagement? So, for example, an actor looking to film a scene or film a television show in the UK.
We've done quite a few of these with, you know, our partners, and that type of permission is called the Tier 5 Temporary Worker Creative and Sporting. It's allow someone who's on that type of permission to come to the UK as a creative worker or for a sporting engagement. So your footballers, I don't know, who are non-Europeans coming for a period of time, or somebody who is coming to do a film shoot in the UK. Normally, it's considered a short-term option, but you can have up to 12 months in the UK. You can actually go for an extension. However, when you're asking to go for an extension, you have to show that the reason why you're asking for an extension is because that particular production that you're working on hasn't completed within the relevant time. Temporary workers, i.e. so your actors, your actresses, can be supported, or their entourage are allowed to come in and with them at the same time.
Great, I can imagine that being really useful for people coming with big film crews and those kind of individuals. But what would be the eligibility criteria for these individuals in these creative fields?
The eligibility probably sort of seems quite obvious in that they have to be relatively famous. But I say that, and I know that me personally in the past, I would often come out to the team and say, right, we've had instructions to assist such and such, and you guys look at me and say, yeah, I know who that is, but I quite often don't know who that is. So there are boundaries around it, and there are the standard occupational codes. So there are codes that states what an actor or actress should have done in their portfolios, if you like, and it gives good guidance. And it also looks at presenters, dancers, and so on. And they also have, as in the tier two, they have the salary levels or the salary packages. So one might imagine that a famous actor, for example, that we often put the minimum salary. So if they're going, if their contract alludes to, I don't know, 2 million for a performance, because of the stages that it's going to be paid in, we normally put something like 70,000 as the minimum payment, which they will be given for the 3 or 4 days that they're in the UK. Having said that, payment must be in accordance with the trade union's minimum threshold salary. So when you look at some of the actors and actresses trade union sites, they also provide a minimum salary guidance. For example, Equity, the union for creative performers and practitioners, models, musicians and circuses are exempt from the minimum salary threshold requirement.
So you've mentioned the standard occupational codes and kind of remuneration criteria. Would you like to speak about the advertising requirements? Because I can imagine there's really interesting requirements and exemptions about individuals coming to the UK under this visa route.
Well, typically, most practitioners are familiar with the tier two options, which allows a non-European national to be sponsored in the UK. If we compare it to that category, employers must usually advertise to satisfy what is known as the resident labour market. So they advertise and go through a recruitment process for the role if it's a new hire. So whilst the tier five does involve a level of advertising, you would imagine that if somebody is already performing a particular role overseas, you couldn't advertise that role here, because it would be that person who's literally coming over. If they're doing a theatre tour, for example, you wouldn't advertise the main lead's role in that. They could automatically come over. You would do a level of advertising if it was for a new role, for example, but the advertising criteria would be specific to certain channels, so to certain roles, and you would look at the codes of practice for those roles. For example, BECTU, PAC, and the production guilds.
Yeah, and just following on from what you've mentioned, in relation to other exemptions that would prevent the advertising of certain roles would be if the individual is hired based on their specific attributes, for example, if they were hired based on the way they looked, or if they had any specialist vocal ability, then that would mean that they wouldn't have to advertise. And another example of an advertising exemption would be if the actor, for example, was tied to the finance of the production. So if finance was dependent on that actor being in that production or in that film, then they wouldn't have to advertise for that role.
Yeah, that makes sense though, doesn't it? Because you couldn't kind of get rid of the person who's financially supporting the role. So that definitely makes sense. one thing to highlight, and it perhaps it is obvious, but the exemptions under this particular category, they make sense. They make sense because what we're also looking at, or what we tend to find, is that the UK has so many incredible location sites that for this route there has to be flexibility, because it adds to the economy of the country and it also promotes the beauty and the landscape in the UK. So there are certain productions that will always come to the UK each time they do a sequel to certain things, for example Star Wars, and that would be the category that a few of those actors and production people would come under.
Great. So having discussed more long-term routes like the tier one and shorter engagements like the tier five creative route, what about individuals who are looking to come on a one-time basis for a paid engagement? For example, they're looking to do a performance slot at a big festival in the UK. What would be the most appropriate visa route?
If they are a visa national, so a visa national is somebody who needs to obtain prior permission before they come to the UK, then they could apply under the permitted paid engagement. Permitted paid engagement is often abbreviated to PPE. So sometimes it's confusing because it's still under the visitor umbrella, but it does allow someone to come to the UK for up to 28 days if they're going to be paid in the UK for their performance. So of course they are working here, and normally under the visitor rules, you're not allowed to work, but under the PPE provision, you are allowed to receive payment in the UK for a performance that you're going to do, which might be one-off, but it cannot be any more than 28 days. So you tend to find that, particularly when it's London Fashion Week, you've got the makeup artists who come over and they're working during London Fashion Week. You've got just one-off performers who are coming perhaps to do Glastonbury or something like that. They can use this category to do that if they're getting paid in the UK.
Perfect. So we've discussed all the types of visas that would cover the majority of performers, from long-term career progression to short-term filming and finally short-term engagements that are required for them in the UK. So that wraps up our discussion about creative individuals working in the UK. Thank you.
Brilliant, thank you.